In Lenswork number 50, when we were having our 10-year anniversary, we told the story of the earliest days of Lenswork and the press and how we got started. And I suppose we ought to encourage people who are interested in knowing that part of the story to simply read what we wrote in Lenswork number 50, so we're including it here in the PDF. But there's a story before the story that is really the story of us, the story of you and I getting together. And that story, as far as I know, has never been told in either the pages of Lenswork or in any public forum. We've told our friends, we've told the story a few times when we've been out in photographic groups who want to know the interesting part of the story. But I think it's a fair assessment to say that if you and I had never met, fallen in love, gotten married, that Lenswork would not exist. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's such an integral part of the story of not the early days of Lenswork, the days before Lenswork, mm-hmm. that I'd like to start by telling that story. And the introduction to this is simply this. For 25 years now, one of my best friends and I have been out photographing every year for a week. Joe Lipka, he lives in North Carolina. He used to live in Portland. And when he moved to North Carolina, we decided we'd get together and photograph, and we'd done so for a number of years. And at one point, he said, gee, I would like to do some nude in the landscape work, a la Edward Weston and etc. So we called a mutual friend, a photography teacher from Eugene, where you lived at the time, mm-hmm. Named Susie Morrill, and I asked Susie if she knew anybody that would be willing to model for us as we did some nude in the landscape work. And she said, well, let me work on that, and she called you.
Right, and so Susie called me, and she said she knew that I was working a lot in the studio doing nude studies, and I had photographed Embrace and Suspended and a lot of other work that hasn't been published in Lenswork, but she knew I was working in that genre, and so she was hoping she could borrow one of my models. Well, unfortunately, both my models had moved out of town, the two that I really worked with a lot. And so I kind of stewed on it for a second, and I said, well, who are these guys? And are they all right? And she's, oh, they're great guys. They're good photographers. And she totally vouched for these guys.
Well, thankfully.
So I said, well, in that case, I said, you know, it's really helpful as a photographer when you're working with people is to put yourself in their place. So I said, well, with your vouching for these guys, I'll offer to do that. I'll go ahead and I'll be in front of the camera this time, because it teaches you a great deal about how to behave, how to speak, how to coach, how to make a really good photograph of someone who is naked in mm-hmm. front of a camera. I mean, if you've never done that, it can be a little bit sort of unsettling. So I agreed to do that, and so we met at Susie's farm.
Yeah, she offered her farm as a backdrop, and I suppose also a place of comfort, because we all knew Susie. We were all friends. We just didn't know each other at the time. And so we had a marvelous photographic session.
It was an awesome day. It was beautiful out, yeah. And you guys were great, and I found myself not being uncomfortable at all. Of course, I was very used to working with the nude body and such, and I was just so appreciative that you guys were like real art photographers, you know. And Joe was working with his view camera, and you were the assistant, mm-hmm. and had a great sense of humor and made me completely comfortable.
Well, when the day was over, and we all had dinner together, and now wait a minute, am I remembering this right? Was that the time that we were at Susie's farm when it was the final broadcast of Johnny Carson's?
Yes, matter of fact, that was May 22nd, 19...
Oh, you have a better memory than I do.
19, what the heck was that? It must have been 19...
Well, it had to have been 1992, because...
Right, because we were married in 92.
Well, and because me and you in 92.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, that night we had a nice farm dinner at Susie's, and it was awesome, and then we all just kind of crowded around the old television set to watch the last show of Johnny Carson's late
Tonight Show with
Tonight
Johnny
Carson. Tonight Show, yeah.
So later that night, Mo had left, and Joe and I were staying in my camper on Susie's farm. And the lights are all turned out, and we're in the camper, and we're laying in bed. We're not asleep yet. I'm in the bunk. Joe's down below, and it's one of those goodnight, John Boy moments, you know. Joe says, "What did you think of the model?" And I said, "Well, I thought she was really cute, and she was really great, and, you know, she's a terrific photographer." And I kept thinking about you for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then eventually, I called you on the phone under
pretenses.
Yeah, some false pretense. No question it was. And I think at that point I had the courage to say that I'd been thinking about you ever since it, and screwed up my courage and asked you out, or said, "Would you like to go out and have dinner," or some such thing. And that was the beginning of our romance. I'll never forget my daughter, who was living with me. I think she was 16 or 17 at the time, or something like that. And I said, "Well, I'm thinking about asking this woman out who lives down in Eugene." I was living in Portland at the time. And my daughter said, "But Dad, you've seen her naked," knowing that she was the model for the shoot. And I said, "Well, of course, that's part of the motivation." I suppose we should explain that you were a bodybuilder for many, many years.
Yeah.
And you had a very beautiful, sculpted
I was in shape
body
then.
And yeah.
I was used to, you know, when you're performing like that, when you're bodybuilding and you're performing, you're very acutely aware of how your body moves and how to move it. So if you need to rotate any part of your shoulder or right. whatever, I mean, it's all just built in. That's how you learn to, that's part of bodybuilding, is learning how to present.
Well, and that's the kind of work you were doing at the time too, is you were mostly photographing bodybuilders. It wasn't just
people who were just from the
gym thing,
and such. Yeah, I was really into sort of the real fit people who understood their body, and when I asked them to move a particular muscle, they knew what I was talking about. Yeah. I have to, of course, now that we've been married almost 20 years, I still have to make a correction on this story.
Oh.
We didn't really date because you were 2 hours away in Portland
true.
And I was in Eugene. However, we did really burn up the phone lines.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And as I should confess to the listening audience, we still have preserved as a fond memory the phone bill from that initial conversation that lasted 201 minutes.
Yep.
And I think it's a fair statement to make that that budding relationship back in 1992 was the foundation of Lenswork. Fast forward you can't fast forward very far, because we did this photo shoot in May and we got married in October.
But we really started getting together in July.
In July, that's right. And one of the things that we kept talking about, because we're both photographers and we're both interested in pursuing our photography with vigor and passion, you know, the normal course conversation comes up, what photography magazines are you looking at, subscribing to, reading, etc.? And neither one of us were doing...
Nothing was interesting.
Yeah, nothing was interesting. And at one point you asked me what turns out to be maybe the most fateful question of my life, is you said, "Well, if you were going to subscribe to a magazine, what would it be like? What could you, do you have a sample that you could show as the kind of magazine you would like to subscribe to?" And two magazines immediately came to mind. The first was Camera Work by Alfred Stieglitz, that was published in the 19-teens. And the second were the early versions of Aperture, published in the 1950s and the early 60s, when Minor White was still publishing. And I had samples of those, or a book in the case of Camera Work, to show you. And they were all about photographs.
Right.
And we had long conversations about how unique and wonderful they were in the history of photography.
Well, and as I recall, that question was really prompted by your writing that I had read in the PPF newsletter, the Portland Photographers Forum newsletter, that you were the editor of and writer. And after we had gotten married, then you know, I saw that people were subscribing to this that had moved on to different states, but they still wanted to get the PPF newsletter. And I said, you know, people really love your writing. I think we need to kind of look for a broader audience, a bigger way to share your writing. And that was some of that question about what would you read. Oftentimes it's kind of what would you want to make. Mm-hmm. And both of us were entrepreneurs. That was, I think, one of the big attractions, was that not only were we both photographers, but we were both very much interested in sort of making our own way in the entrepreneurial world.
Yeah. And most people may not know, who are recent subscribers to Lenswork, that the first 11 issues of Lenswork, for all intents and purposes, had no pictures in it. It was, I know,
photography. What a crazy idea. What were we thinking?
Yeah, let's do a photography magazine that has no photographs,
all
but
text,
only
all
writing.
Articles on the creative process.
And we don't discuss cameras.
What's there to talk about?
Oh, you.
Such naivete.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got together. We published these first 11 issues, and then only later, starting actually with issue number 13, was the first official publication where we decided to do portfolios. But we essentially, I think the bottom line is, we essentially created the magazine that you and I would have liked to have subscribed to. Mm-hmm. And I think I can even say it's the magazine I would still like to subscribe to, because one of the challenges of producing it is, for us, you know, by the time it shows up in the mail, to us, you know, we've sweat blood and tears over every issue to the point where we don't have that sort of thrill and rush of opening up the envelope that we hope our subscribers have.
Yeah, it's a lot like being in theater, you know. If you're in the play, you can't watch the play. And it's a whole different experience. So you have that intimacy with sort of the production of something, but you don't have that reaction that you're seeing it fresh for the first time, the whole thing. So there is kind of a, I guess we'll never know. Maybe we'll have to just look back on the old issues when our memory is so shot we can't remember them.
Which we're closer to than we should probably admit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is, I wanted to spend a little time talking about the process of publishing Lenswork as a creative act, too. And this is maybe a good time to talk about that. Because one of the things that you and I talk about a lot, you know, almost, I won't say daily, but it does come up frequently, of how much the creative process as a photographer has a parallel in being a publisher. That is to say, we have to be incredibly creative as publishers. Mm-hmm. And that shows up in anything from the odd shape that Lenswork is, which people can read about in the in the issue number 50 article that we wrote, the unique shape of Lenswork and all the other stuff. There's hardly a time or an issue goes by for us that doesn't involve some sort of creative something or other, either in terms of...
Oh, the pot's always boiling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and some things, I mean, the beauty of what we're doing is that we're not in sort of this big corporate mosh pit, you know, where an idea gets thrown in and you know, 6 months later it gets spit out with, you know, make more changes. I mean, we really do, we're able to think about things, refine them, do them. We sort of joke that second time around is a charm, but that's part of it. It's just getting it out there and seeing what people respond to and how things are working and being able to tweak it and change it on a dime. And so our little business of Lenswork is sweet that way, you know?
Yeah. Well, I know you guys are always cringing whenever I have a bunch of spare time on my hands.
Oh, man. this is a joke at Lenswork. Oh, my God. Brooks is going on a road trip. It's like, no, say it isn't so. Because he'll come back with at least one really killer idea and two that are kind of not bad. And then... And then we have to sort through whether this is going. We're going to make a go of it. We're going to make a plan to do this, or oh my Lord! So it ends up in this huge creative whirlwind that comes back with him.
Well, someday, not today, not now, but someday, we'll have to do a recording of all the ideas of products and things that we've come up with that we've decided not to, to do. You know,
yeah, somebody might run with it. That could be good.
Lens yeah. work, the coffee mugs.
Yeah, lens work, the mouse pad.
Yeah. But.
Which is not to say we're not doing those.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
They're over there on the yeah, in the corner.
Yeah. There is an interesting aspect about this, though, that for me is very, very fun. And that's the idea that when you decide that you're not going to follow the formula and you're not going to produce, in our case, a magazine that looks like everybody else's magazine looks like, it gives you the freedom to do anything you want. What that also gives you is the freedom to fall flat on your face doing some things. Probably the best example is when we, in 1998, launched the Lenswork Multimedia Edition and published essentially a PDF version of Lenswork, and then spent the next several months explaining what a PDF was because no one knew.
We were way ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah, we realized we were a little early. But
like 7 years.
Okay, something like that. It was a little early.
Oops.
Oops. But after we did our reminiscing in Lenswork number 50, we actually revitalized that idea of mm-hmm. Lenswork Multimedia in the form of what is now known as Lenswork Extended, which you're obviously, you know all about, or you wouldn't be listening to this. Lenswork Extended started in number 57, and in issue number 57. And I think what's interesting to me about that is that when we were doing our reminiscing for Lenswork number 50, thinking, wow, what a fabulous milestone 50 issues is, we had no idea whatsoever that in 7 issues we would launch Lenswork Extended.
Oh, yeah.
We had no idea there was...
It was a twinkle, but it wasn't even a concept. It was something that its time had eventually came, and we could reflect back on what we did with issues 22 and 23 and sort of the... You know, the PDF had become such a kind of ubiquitous. I mean, everybody was starting to use PDF to, you know, send information and graphics and all that stuff. So it was kind of like the world, the technical world and the world of consumers finally caught up. We had to kind of just shelve it for a while everybody learned, what is a PDF?
Well, and another example, in 2004, we launched what is probably the most popular thing we've done, maybe even rivaling the magazine, and that's the Lenswork podcasts. Mm-hmm. We had no idea that we were going to do that when we were publishing Lenswork number 50. We had no idea we were going to do inkjet prints, or mm-hmm. what we technically call pigment on paper prints, and special editions and special edition folios. We had no idea there was going to be all of this international travel that's taken us to China and all the various places that we've gone to talk about Lenswork.
I let you go to Mongolia in the dead of winter. I did, not that I let you. I just said, no thanks. I don't think so.
Yeah. Maybe not one of my better ideas.
Oh, but you have good stories to tell.
Well, fortunately I survived it. But I guess the point is Lenswork is like our photography careers. A creative thing that evolving. We have no idea what we're going to be doing in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. We hope we're breathing.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that didn't sound right, did it? Sorry.
Yeah. And we hope there's still people who share our passion with photography, and that we're able to continue to be as creative and have as much fun and meet as much nice people. And because this has been exactly what you and I had hoped and foresaw when we started with Lenswork number 1, it is the ultimate e-ticket for a couple of photographers who are passionate.
E-ticket being, our audience is probably old enough to remember the e-ticket being the best tickets at Disneyland. Those were the ones you had to have for all the really great rides. And so it's been an awesome ride. I'll tell you, we're moving on to G or H tickets sometimes. So it gets a little wacky, but one thing, we've never been as bored.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but so. I do have to reflect back, You're absolutely right. I think all of these things that have come along, you know, are really, many of them are technology based, but we have taken full advantage of those things as we're growing older and these things coming along. We're just embracing this stuff, especially you, just like Matt, and it's just been just like a playground. But I do have to say, you know, it all started in such a happenstance way. You know, there we were with our mutual friend Susie, and her inviting us to the farm, and the odds of that happening mm-hmm. were minuscule. And the idea that if we had not met, and beyond that, we had not, you know, clicked and just loved to be with each other and loved being creative together and entrepreneurial and all of that, Lenswork wouldn't have been around. Lenswork would not have been birthed, and we joke it was birthed 11 months after, a little long gestation there, but it was, you know, 11 months after we got married. I mean, we put this thing together very quickly because we were ready to, you know, sort of do that in our lives, do something different and risk-taking and creative with photography. But I do have to thank Susie and Joe. Susie Morrill and Joe Lipka, you guys are awesome, because I remember you were out there shoveling horse pucky out in Susie's, pasture there that she had mowed down so nicely.
Well, we should explain that the reason she was doing that is because we chose, after having met on Susie's farm, to then get married on Susie's farm.
Yes, of course.
And it was a fabulous. And if Joe Lipka had said, you know, what I'm interested in photographing is crashing waves at the Oregon coast. Would have never met you. If Susie had said, well, I'll be happy to be your model
and
for this photo
modeled,
shoot.
And she had modeled, I think.
She had. You know, there so many things could have turned differently that would have meant there was never a Lenswork, never a Lenswork extended.
Or I had a model available.
Or you had a model available.
I mean, this is really, quite honestly, this is the odds of this. I just do have to marvel and sort of think, this must have been just, I don't want to say predestined.
Fated to be.
You and me.
Yeah.
We are closing in on our 20th wedding anniversary.
And our 20th year of publishing Lenswork.
Yep.
Our marriage and Lenswork are coterminous.
God, that sounds bad.
Well, perhaps. First, thanks to Joe, thanks to Susie. Second, thanks to all of you who have walked down this creative path with us, who share a passion for photography, who have been so wonderful as to subscribe to Lenswork, to buy prints, to make it possible for us to continue to publish.
Yeah, and we couldn't do it without you.
Oh, I know. And we'll continue to do it as long as you people are interested in it and are willing to allow us the privilege of bringing this wonderful photography and meeting all these great photographers and sharing. Just like we got together under happenstance, I can't wait to find the photographers that we will publish in the next upcoming issues, the next years of Lenswork, because we know there's some good friends yet to be made.
Oh, it's just like mining for gems.
They're out there.
Absolutely. That's a ball.
Love you, sweetie.
Hey, I love you too, Faze.
Bye.
Group hug! 2012, Lenswork Publishing.